Boom. Welcome back to AI in the Sky, where we're covering AI news, what's going on for marketers. And I think this might be the last time we air it under this name, because Mark and I have been talking, and sometimes you just I just launch something and then you kind of make it better as you go. But I have a hypothesis on where things are going and where this show could go. So we'll even just talk about that live, because like, why not just do it live in front of everybody? Mark's like, I have no idea what's going on right now. So okay. Mark, ask me that question that you asked, and then I just refused to answer, and I just pushed.
So I've been chatting with Dan about 30 seconds.
Do it on the air.
I'm like, Dan, how's it going? What how's things been? How you been? He's like, oh.
The classic. And I got to tell you, I have mixed emotions this morning. I'm like so excited. At the same time, I'm just so sad this morning. I had a revelation this morning that so many people actually don't want to learn how to use AI.
It's not just AI, brother.
I'm like, okay, this, I'm like, I thought more people would want to learn. I'm like, you know, I'm starting to discover that people really don't want to learn. They really want to be given quick hacks. They want to be given cheat sheets. They want the recipe, but they don't want to learn how to cook.
They don't want to work.
They don't want to work. So I'm like, interesting. I'm like, because to me, the writing's clear on the wall. I'm like, people who only learn how to follow like microwave, like only learn how to cook mac and cheese and don't learn how to cook. I'm like, those people, you're going to be at the biggest risk for replacement over the next 5 years.
I'll sum
that's
this
the
up.
Part I'm like, ah, I'm like, how could you say that? All right.
Here's the point, Dan. How many people know that eating less and exercising gets you in shape? Everybody. And yet weight loss pills sell like crazy still. Well, how is that possible? Because you just want to know, I'm pop a pill and I don't need to bother learning AI.
You want it now.
Right. The AI thing is funny because it forces change. Like, you have no choice. It's not like a nice to know. It's already here.
It's just so sad because I'm looking at AI and I'm like, there's been many things that have been hard to learn. Marketing automation, pretty difficult, especially in the early days, man.
SEO.
Like, the amount of like crazy forms you'd have to fill out to be like, when this happens, then do this, and then do this, and then do this, and the amount of work you had to put into it. AI is like fluffy in comparison. It's actually very fluid. There's things to know, and there's places where it can go wrong, but for the most part, it's very forgiving.
Yeah.
Unlike code, dude, you miss one freaking semicolon, and then the whole page breaks. And you can spend hours, days, maybe even weeks trying to find that one place you screwed up in the code. I know, because I don't know how to like use programmatic languages, but I code HTML and CSS. I design websites. And it was hard just to do that. Now I'm looking at AI. I'm like, this is way forgiving. AI will literally try to troubleshoot it for you. And it might not give you the results you want, but
here's the
thing,
though.
It's not just going to break. You can even ask it for where you went wrong, and it'll probably help you try to figure it out.
I'm going to use prompting as the example, though, Dan. Some people, they all know like how you prompt the thing matters, but yet no one wants to learn how to properly prompt. We touched on this previous, but like there's a skill here that they're just like, well, just tell me what the prompt I should use.
Yeah. And that's why the AI gurus are crushing it. I'm like, why is like, don't copy and paste prompts. Learn how to prompt. Like, learn how to cook. It's not that hard. No. That's not what we want. That's
not
fine.
How humans work.
Because all the AI SaaS people are figuring that out now, and they're just making it easier and easier to use the tools.
Right. Yeah.
I have mixed emotions. And the reason that's the sad part of me. The excited part of me is I'm like, well, there's the opportunity for the freaking arbitrage because a few people are going to learn how to cook and the rest, everybody else is going to be out.
No matter what you do as a listener, no matter who you are, you could just put for AI as the end of what you do. Like, here's how to learn such and such and such with AI. Here's how to learn fitness with AI. Here's how to learn writing with AI. Here's how to learn. Doesn't matter. The AI-ization of your thing, people don't want to know it. It's like they're looking for just give me the cheat sheets. Yep. So that is opportunity. It's massive opportunity.
So and that's why, hence, even I mentioned like I might change up the show because I'm realizing like the majority of people don't really want to learn how to use it. Like I put out one of the most robust posts I put out on how to learn AI. It's like freaking crickets over there. I'm like, that's. Yeah. I mean, I've known this, but now I'm like, yeah, people really don't want to learn.
Right.
I was thinking about building a course. I might still do it, just because there will be a few that do want to go deeper.
And I think if it's specialized, yeah, I think that's a good idea. People want to, like, I'm in the thing and you tell me how to do the thing with AI, that'll sell. But when
it's
somebody
not
just
even
like
a long course, I mean, like you're talking like, I'm talking 5 video course on how to understand the framework that then go and test and do stuff.
The thing with education, though, I've written a lot of these online courses for other people. You need to make it as tight as possible. Like, nobody wants to go through 800 hours of video. They want to just give it to me in 12 minutes.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, well, it'll probably be longer than that. Five
I'm
videos,
exaggerating to
probably
make the
be
point.
Like 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm trying to make it a mini course, but at the same time, nah, I'll see if I can keep it under 20 minutes. That'll be the goal. It's like, keep it as tight.
You know
as
what
possible.
I'd suggest, I mean, just from my own thoughts and in my humble opinion, do a mini course up front, see what the response is, because they'll tell you then, and then you build it on the go as people want more things around the thing. Like, they'll tell you, can you dig into this more detail? And then you do that.
So, Mark, where are you at in all this stuff? What are you doing to learn AI right now? Are you dabbling? Are you digging in?
Right. So I run a content marketing agency, and a lot of what I do involves everything from video editing to just writing. So the writing stuff I know pretty well. Well, I like to think I do. I dabble in multiple GPT versions, let's call it, and just to compare the products. And they are very different. On the video editing side, it's a lot more challenging for me because that's not my natural skill set. So you and I have talked about this, Dan, like the fact that these video chop up edits, you know, Zencastr they all kind of suck, to be honest with you. They always cut it the wrong spot. I'm finding that's the case across, and I don't want to name names because some of these companies, I'm friends with the people. Yeah, but the bottom line is, I just experiment, same as you're doing, and I find out that A, I'm better at certain things with AI, like I'm better at it, and B, the machinery is better at that type of AI tool, whatever it may be. So there's a variance there in like both skill sets and tool sets, and I'm understanding that this is really a lot more nuanced than I realized.
There's a lot to it. The more I play with it, and really, I'm really finding that building custom GPTs is by far like the best place to play and test and learn. I had a chat with a gentleman that I need to have on my show like soon. He was like an industry veteran. And he was like a VP of marketing, I think at Eloqua, some like one of those like industry techs, and rolled out like a marketing automation tool. It might have been Marketo. I don't know. It's one of those like older, bigger marketing automation tools.
Right.
And he talked about the learnings there. And now he's working on his own AI tech startup. And I was talking about just the things I'd learned in custom GPTs. He's like, oh yeah, that's what we learned last summer. That's what we learned in September. Oh, that's what we recently are wrestling with. I'm like, there's things to learn here.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to roll up your sleeves, you can actually learn a lot about AI without having to work with developers, just from testing it in custom GPTs, writing instructions, and then running your prompts against those instructions in the custom GPTs. I'm finding there's like a wealth of knowledge. And the cool thing is, like, it's trial and error, but it's so fast to trial it. Like, you can write some instructions and then try it. And then, you know, it either gives you what you want or it didn't. Mm-hmm. And then you learn like bit by bit. Like, there's no, it's even private. Like, you could just run it over and over and over again to see if it gives you the results you want. And it only costs a $20 a month subscription.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Just to play. It used to be hard to write websites. I remember the first time I built a website, I was like, okay, code. I understand HTML, but how do I get it online? Mm-hmm. And it used to be super hard. You used to have to go, you're like, okay, web host. I paid for a web host. They gladly took my money. And I bought a domain on GoDaddy. How do I hook these two things together?
Now like, the learning starts.
It used to be hard. Now it's pretty, they've made it easier now. But
this
like,
was the same
it used back- to be hard. You're like, oh, wait, I need a... like an index.html file that becomes the, I don't know. There's all these tiny little unwritten steps. And even if you watched the videos and read the tutorials, they'd be missing a step depending on your web host.
Right.
And I'm like, AI, not nearly as hard to go and play with and figure out. It's much more intuitive.
Do you remember the early days of social where you'd be on platform X? I can't even say that anymore. You'd be on one platform and then you'd be like, okay, it doesn't work the same way on the other platforms. Like, the algos are different. Okay, I didn't know that. Then it became like, there used to be a thing around posting times, posting length, like all that stuff had to be learned. And now it's kind of common knowledge, but we're in that phase with the AI where the only way to learn it is to go dabble and experiment. But people don't want to do that. They just want to be told what's the cheat sheet.
Well, and even the ones that are even more hungry, I'm noticing a trend because people have noticed I've been posting about it. It's funny, LinkedIn reaches way down, but still it's working because I'm like, might get a few hundred, a few thousand sometimes. It's still freaking working. Like, people are still coming inbound asking me about AI. I'm like, okay. They're like, Dan, what do I got to do to learn more? Like, do you have a course yet? Hence, I need to put out a course because enough people have asked now. But a lot of people are like, hey, I saw this course by, I don't know, some online MOOC somewhere. And it's like,
Luke Matthews.
UPenn e-course you can take online for some money. Okay. It's not accredited or anything, right. But it's like, there are things like, there's 100 of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're like full courses. I'm like,
but nobody wants like, to take it.
I haven't checked out any of them, but right. I just intuitively know that it's not going to get you what you want. Like yep. It'd be way better to go watch 3 YouTube videos and then just start building custom GPTs to build out things that you're doing, like repetitive tasks you're currently doing. See if you can get AI to do it. Even if it's ridiculous, see if you can get AI to do it anyway. Even if you fail, and I've failed many times trying to build these things, the learnings in them are way better.
So 2 things though. Number 1, education happens on YouTube. I agree with you. That's something people don't realize. The folks are going to YouTube to find out what they should do. But 2 is the time factor of I'll pay money to save time. Same reason that nobody changes their own oil for their car. They'll just bring it in for $13 or whatever. These days it's 30. I think that people want to just be told, what do I do? So you're being approached, Dan, because you seem to be knowledgeable about it. You're talking about it. I've gotten the same inbounds where people are like, well, you seem to be in the space. Like we're all in the space. Everybody's in the space. But what do I do? That's the opportunity.
Yep. So we'll see what people do. I'm going to keep chugging along. I'm hoping more people. I finally had a friend tell me, hey, I finally just upgraded ChatGPT to Plus. I'm like, finally do it. More like these are close friends that are finally doing. I'm finally convincing a few people to like, hey, like this is the best $20 a month you can be spending right now.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to learn and play and dabble, if only. But of course, you can build your own custom GPTs and it becomes really like you start automating your work. It's highly, highly productive for anybody. Whether you're in company or you're doing your own thing.
We're in a window of time where a gap is going to form between the people who start to dabble and the folks who don't. And it's not something you can make up later because the disappearance of jobs and all the stuff they talk about, that's a real thing. If you're good with it, you're going to know how to create value. And if you're not, you're up against the clock here.
Have you built a custom GPT?
Yes.
So what have you made?
Just my own, like for me, like a mark.
What do they do?
So mostly they write content and I don't love them, to be honest with you. Like I've created an AI avatar of myself using Hey Jen and 11 Labs to use the voice.
Yeah.
It was close enough that if you didn't know me, you'd buy into it.
Yeah.
And it was freaking me out. I'm like, all right, I would put it out into the market as a, hey, this isn't really me, but I'm showing this as an example. In the end, I didn't. I'm like, I'm not ready to, this is the conversation we had around who's your mascot.
Yep.
I went far down that road. But as far as taking the data dump from LinkedIn and making my own, you know, take all my old content, write like me, I've done a lot with that. And I actually, it's not bad as a junior hire, if you will, in my company that kind of writes like I do, and then I can save time. I still don't think we're there yet, though, for any of these things. And forget about like text and video. I'm not loving that yet. It's cool in general, but to be specific, like meaning I wanted to do exactly what I wanted to do, it's hard to prompt it right.
Are you using templates?
I'm taking some templates from the internet. Like I've done a lot of the digital writing courses out there and a lot of the gurus. If you have experience writing, or in my case, most of what I'm doing is writing, then you know what you want. Like you have a style. Mm-hmm. And that's where templates don't always match up to what you're trying to do. It's the same thing with prompting.
Yeah.
When you copy and paste these prompts, I don't want to name names because you'll know the people, but like you'd be like, yeah, they're good writers, but they don't write like I write. And I kind of feel like I'm a better writer, no offense. So that's where you're ranking your own templates. I've been doing that.
I'm slowly, I feel like I'm where I'm at with content with these GPT specifically is that I'm finding it's a 3-way attack. It's really just one freaking long mega prompt, but in my mind, I have it separated out into 3 different major sections. There's the prompt, there's the template, and then there's the example. I find if I can hone those in, and then I tweak those over and over again, and I just run the same command. Like it's usually for me, I'm a podcaster. I'm using a podcast transcript as the starting point.
Right.
Okay. So, and this is where the fun begins in learning AI. So I'm learning it now. I'm like, okay, I have the transcript and the transcript is what it is. And I'm going to keep running this as the starting point for this custom GPT. I'm just copying and pasting it and letting it run to see if it does well. The things that I get to tweak over and over again until I'm really happy with it is the prompt, the template, and the example. What the template is, here's roughly what it should look like. You know, it's the insert this here. You can even build mini prompts into a template. Like I usually put questions in there, like, well, what, tell me about this, tell me about this, tell me about this within the headings.
It's a good idea.
As part of templates that I'm finding out work really well. And that's where I start to troubleshoot little parts. Like if the intro is a little off, right. I start to tweak the template and it's almost mini prompts within there. I'm asking questions for it to consider. And then the example is, what does it look like if I were to do this by hand? Or right. Sometimes I'm like, what's an example look like when AI really crushed it, did really well? It doesn't really matter who made the example, but the example needs to be the ideal standard. And I find between those three things, I'm getting freaking close. Yeah. Like for it to just go live and be bam, done,
right.
With minimal edits.
But that leads to a problem, Dan. Both marketing and AI, the more people get acclimated to it, it doesn't work as well in terms of responsiveness, like people themselves. If I'm getting the same messaging from everybody, or you copy and paste the template from some guru and then everyone in that community is using it, it doesn't work the same way. And so you it's an evolutionary force, whether you like it or not, you have to be evolving your stuff. So you're smart to be doing that. And I think that of the three you just said, that's great. The prompt, the template, the example is the weakest link for most people. Like telling it what you want it to, it should look like this at the end.
Yep.
Because you really got to be clear on that.
The template and the example actually look pretty close. If it's a really good template, then it almost looks like the example.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great. The example is more specific and filled in with actual information.
Right.
There's upsides and downsides to this. One, you have to know, like, let's say you want to turn a blog. You're essentially saying, I'm going to create a series of blogs that all have the exact same format.
Mm-hmm.
Which means as a podcaster, I need to give it a template because you can't build a process like this and throw very different podcast episodes into it from a 5-minute solo episode to a 25-minute interview. Like it's not going to be able to take they're very different inputs and it's not going to handle well through the machine. So you almost have to think systematically, like what can I give it over and over again as a podcast episode, tighten up the process. And you're almost thinking like manufacturing at this point. It's almost like assembly line.
Called it a conveyor.
As a marketer, you have to think, I'm like, yeah, but what do I want a lot of? Can I create now you're trying to, this is where it gets really hard with AI. Cause you have to envision like if I had 100 blog posts on X and the topic changed, but the template stayed the same, what would be valuable? Right. And that's where you have to start thinking ahead as far as like, okay, AI can make it easy for me to deliver 100 blog posts on this topic. Cause I'm going to make an assembly line to do it. And it's going to do it relatively well. I mean, a lot of bloggers and SEO people already know this because they have to deliver articles in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't do is build the process and then change the freaking process every time.
Right.
The amount of work it takes to do the process, you might as well have just written the blog post by hand because the process takes a lot of time to build. But it's kind of becomes like that MBA thing where you're like how much do I invest in automation versus doing manual?
Yep.
There's upside to investing in automation if you know you're going to be able to make back the investment, right, over enough units, but you have to have enough units to make it worthwhile. And that's where, I don't know, that's where I'm at. Like, I don't think content marketers are thinking about it. Like don't think in terms of 2 or 3 blog posts, think in terms of 100 and all of a sudden you'll start to see where AI can really fill in the gaps.
So I'll make 2 more points on that. Number one is the process versus the workflow. And this is I'm making up these definitions, but the process is what you do for each stage. So for example, the prompting, the template, the example, there's a little process inside each of those. I'm sure you follow whatever the Danchez model is. The workflow is how do they integrate together? Because you might want to change the workflow later or add new components of processes into that thing. And I tweak that a lot, but for my own stuff, for example, in repurposing, you want to take old content on a regular basis and refurb it and get it back out there again on a new spin if you can. That's a process, but it's actually got to be put into a workflow integrating with my current content creation. So the strategic networking together, you know, linking of different ways of doing what you do, it's very unique. It's got to do with the person, what you're trying to accomplish, how you work. I tend to write better in the mornings and in the evenings. I found that out about myself. So like all that stuff comes into play and you have to map this if you really want to create a conveyor belt of production as a marketer.
I do. I want that conveyor belt for every single type of episode I'm doing. I'm like, I'll have a few different episode formats, but I just want this stuff to happen on autopilot afterwards.
You put your finger on it though, when you say a factory or whatever you called it, the concept of a content process, like most firms don't really work it through to that nth degree. You know, the content process is there needs to be content made and posted and analytics be done on it. That yep. doesn't get into the nitty gritty of, okay, what is the knitting together of the workflow, which might involve, you know, Zapier, Central, whatever. Like, you might really have to get into the weeds with this. I think companies have to start thinking like that.
I used to work at a college, and that college employed students. In fact, mm-hmm. it was a work college, so every student had to have a job, which every department then had to take student workers. Or, I mean, they didn't have to. Most departments were fighting over them because it was free labor. They worked over 15 yeah. hours a week.
What a great idea that is.
And And, you know, we had, it wasn't free labor. We were at our college, it was tuition paid. You didn't pay tuition. You did pay room and board. So you're paying, I don't know, 10, 12 grand a year on room and board, which is a freaking steal for a private college, right? But they had to work 15 hours a week, and it was great. And the lesson that I'm learning about AI now is that I learned more about how to do AI based on what I learned in building internships.
Really?
Because I had to figure out how to make 18 and 19 year olds productive in the marketing department. So
let me know the secret, would you?
We had a draft process for selecting them. And I got that many years in a row. I got it wrong because there's a skill in learning how to discern like which students are just reliable.
Right.
But that aside, I had to learn how to onboard them. And I started with one student. By the time I left there, I had a team of maybe 23 students.
Wow.
But how do you make 23 people with no prior experience in marketing or media productive within a month, and then working where you're not micromanaging everything? Because that's what you have to do if they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So they're actually useful to you, and you can actually still go and do what you're doing as a director or whatever. That was the game. And so I learned how to train them for different roles. But in order to do that, you have to break every single process down that marketing does into a very dry step-by-step process. Here's the process. Here's how we write blog posts here. You cast a large vision. You tell them like, this is why we write blog posts. This is the goal of the blog post. We write blog posts for SEO. Here's how search engine optimization works. You have to teach them that. And then you have to break down the very specific steps. I had one intern that did nothing but do the keyword research validation, writing mm-hmm. the titles, and would essentially set up the Excel sheet for everybody to then pull their blog post, the title's done, the keyword objective's done, the basic instructions already written for each blog post. And then it was like, again, assembly line. I had probably a team of five writers do nothing but write articles. And they did the same thing every single day. They'd come to work and get started on the new article. They were expected to write an article a day. We filled a website called justdisciple.com with about 400 articles over 2 years.
Wow.
And it brought in probably half a million page views a month.
That's amazing. But that speaks to the results. It also, the whole concept reminds me of the McDonald's speedy system, whatever the heck it was. Right. Yeah. You put the fries in for only 5 minutes. When the beeper goes off, you always make sure you put the mustard on first, then come the onions, then come the... Like people need to learn
how to break complex thing down into small tasks. That is the exact same process you use with AI.
Right.
It's breaking down complex projects into small tasks. Because yes, it can do good. It can do pretty well in small tasks. Like, hey, tell me about XYZ event. Hey, do a crossover between how Super Mario and George Washington are similar. It'll write the article. It's like they're unrelated, but like it'll find the common points between 100%. Them. Write about it. It'll do it.
But your mentality is structural. Like I can hear how you think, Dan. You're a systematic thinker. Most people look at AI as, I don't need to do this. The reason I have AI, so I don't have to do that. It'll do it for me. So I'm going to set this thing hog wild and be like, write me some blog posts. That's what most folks are doing with this thing.
Yeah. I mean, even there, you can't expect it to just go on like, hey, I'm in X industry selling Y widget. Write me a marketing plan.
Right.
But it'll give you a really generic, boring marketing plan.
The philosophy there, though, is iteration. I'll take with the, I know it's going to come up with garbage. I already go in knowing that. And now I'm just going to keep on going around and around on it until I like it. Whereas you can save yourself a boatload of time if you just said, this is the way it should be at the output. And you basically handle it like you said with the junior employees.
But if you had a step-by-step process for coming up with killer marketing strategies, and maybe it can't do it all, but you take into consideration what ChatGPT-4 can do, which is a lot. It's multimodal. It can deal with images. It can search the web. It can learn a lot by itself. And you're like, okay, step one, who do you like? And it becomes a conversation where it kind of walks you through the process. Once it learns your product and your industry, it comes up with a hypothesis on who your different targets are. You talk about it like, oh yeah, yeah, that's definitely more the market. It goes and does research on that market because that's the next step of the process to understand their pain points and their frustrations. By pulling blog posts talking about their pain points and frustrations, it comes up with an analysis of that. Based on that, it starts to think because you've taught it to do an analysis on its pain points and how the product might be able to map to those. You know, so now it's starting to actually do the work of coming up with a marketing strategy. Is it the same as a marketing like genius to do it? No, but it's probably way better than what a normal founder would be able to do.
Yes.
But again, you have to break it down in the baby step processes, thinking about what it can and can't accomplish now, and then have it run through a method. And that marketing strategy would be way better than if you would just ask it to write a marketing strategy.
I'm going to take the counterpoint on this, Dan. Real talk, a lot of folks don't actually know why they do what they do, especially at the founder level. When you're busy, you wear a lot of hats. You just kind of know. Like I was in frontline sales for many years. And if you tell me, you know, what's the process for selling? It took me a while when I founded my company to break it all down. What do I actually do here? How do I build rapport with a prospect? That's the same thing with marketing, where you have to be like, okay, what do I do? And my process is built around what I would intuitively know, but didn't realize I did. And that's work. Like you got to sit down when you want to get in shape. You eventually come to know like your macros and carbs and I work out better in the mornings or you don't know that at the start.
Yep.
So you take some generic approach and it doesn't really work great.
Well, I don't know. I think that's really the challenge, and why people struggle with AI is because they don't know how to teach what they do. They don't know how to explain the step-by-step process, even if they're really good at it. There are people that are genuinely just freaking good at what they do. They just can't. They don't know what their step-by-step.
I'm going to go philosophically deeper on this. I'm curious your response to this. I think this ties to the school system. You come out and you're used to just learn how to do a job, do the job well.
Yeah.
You get paid. When you're dealing in AI now, especially if you're a founder, but even if you're a senior marketer, et cetera, you got to put on the hat of like creative entrepreneur now, which is where you are. So you find this easy. But most people aren't used to thinking like stepping back and saying, okay, what is the functional purpose of my role, right, as an employee? What do I need to have happen and how do I get there in my head? What do I do? And break it into steps. As you're saying, it's second nature for you, Dan. But a lot of folks are like, I come in, I push the button, I pull the lever. Right? I mean, and you can't be that way if you're trying to really master AI. It starts with you before you get to the machinery. That's the problem.
What are you doing? And then what is AI capable of? And what can it do that you are currently doing? And even if it can't do it, how could you force it to do it anyway? Just to see.
Right. There are certain things that I realize I'm better at than the machine. And I know it knows everything, et cetera. But like, it takes less time for me to iterate this because I know it intimately well versus the other thing I'm doing through the AI. It takes me longer. It's me, but I'm just like, I'm better off if I just do this piece and pawn this off on the machine. So my point is like, that's different for every person. I think there's a learning curve there with how you interact with AI.
Yeah. I almost wonder if you could like hire people to help you break down what you do into processes, because I've sat down with a couple of people now, like building GPTs, and I'm like, tell me about your process. Like you're doing this manually. You even delegate it, like break it down. Now this, and I'm like, I just got hired to build a GPT, and it's elaborate. Nice. Eventually I'll have him on to talk about what we've built. I love it. It predicts the future. How do you like that?
Dude, that's
or mainly. It comes
I already know, without knowing anything, I'm sure this is about the financial markets, but keep going.
It's funny enough. We are using it to.
I can guess.
It's not for stock trading. It's more for companies to predict where they're going to be, but a lot of their clients are in the financial space. So it's like, it ends up being talking a lot about that, but it really just builds up creative scenarios of the future. But they had a process for it, which is why I knew we could build a GPT around it. Because I'm like, you have a documented process. You have a clear input. Like you're starting with X and you're finishing with Y. And you're always putting these in your presentations. And it takes your team about 2 weeks to build the in-between. I'm like, AI can do that in about 20 minutes. Even right. Faster now. So it's like, we just have to hone in what's the assembly line for what you're doing to come up with this in between so that it doesn't take 2 weeks, because AI can automate it and be done with, and you could probably get this whole process done in less than 8 hours. So right. what was a 2 week process is now an 8 hour process. And that is how AI is taking over jobs too. But at the same time, they want to become more efficient. So it makes sense.
You made a point here I want to press on a bit. You said, I wonder if there's a role where people can help you know what you do. This is Tony Robbins, just use an example people would know. He'll up on stage, we'll chant whatever he says, where focus goes, energy flows. Like people are like, oh, I didn't realize that. Or like motion creates emotion. These are like tidbit sound bites that people walk away and think, oh God, I've learned so much about myself. But you needed Tony or whoever it is to teach you that.
Yeah.
You happen to be really great making these GPTs with this company right now in your case, because they had a process. But that existence of a process, it's there anyway. Most companies don't know what it is, or they think they know because you're the high up boss and didn't realize that seven levels below you, something's happening in the works that you didn't even know happens. You know, like Alice runs some batch file at the end of the day because it just makes her life easier and she didn't tell anybody and it's been super helpful for the process. Like, but you wouldn't know that. Those types of things, like you really got to know the process, how it's done, and then break down and then build it into an AI thing.
I guess that's the trick. How do you become better at process?
I hate that. Like, I run a company now, and so I have to have that down, but it's not my natural skill set. Like, I'm a ready, fire, aim kind of guy. And so I think that people need to become more process, systematic thinking, more oriented towards orderly. My wife is great. She's very orderly. This is like, we're opposites. You, I can tell, Dan, you're very systematic in your thinking. Folks like you are going to do really well with this because you take fish to water with this. And your average, I don't want to poop on the sales guys, but like your average ready, fire, aim person is going to be like, oh, I don't really know. Like, what's the, give me the shortcuts.
I used to be obsessed with marketing automation. So I would ask people, because I knew there was, I'm like, surely there's a process for process development. I asked a lot of people, even people that were killer, like they were excellent at creating processes. And I often got like, there isn't a process for that. I finally found a seasoned retired executive who was like high up in the P&G line. I was working for a nonprofit and he was just kind of, he's one of those people that just kind of like, just shows up and just kind of like, just kind of, I don't know, like he's such a guru, so high up that when he shows up, you just come up with a pen and paper and a room full of execs and just take notes as he talks.
Right.
But I didn't think there was I was convinced that there wasn't a process for building process, but my boss at the time, he's like, what's your process for building process? Cause the conversation we were having, he's like, oh yeah. Analyze, optimize, standardize, and mechanize. I was like,
that's good.
There is a process. I have it in my Notion for like, for every time I have to bring it back up, I just pull it up under Notion now. It's analyze, essentially like document what currently is happening. Like, what is the current process? Optimize, how do you make the process? How do you think you might be able to make this better? Standardize, how do you make sure it's like, optimize is like building the plan for how to make it better. Standardize is making sure everybody knows what this plan is and it's actually like documented what the new plan is and everybody's educated on it. And then mechanize, final step, automating it.
Right.
Where can it be automated? That's the process. So this is the process. And of course, he would know because P&G goes through this a lot. They have a lot of manufacturing plants. They have a lot of processes. They have to mechanize working with the Targets and Walmarts of the world. Extremely process driven. Otherwise, just-in-time manufacturing and delivery and fulfillment wouldn't work in that world.
Right.
Right. So, people talk like if the supply chain broke, like Walmart would be out of groceries like within a few days because it's just in time. Like they like it probably only got there 2 days before you bought it. Maybe. Right.
And to run a just-in-time business at Walmart's a good example. You really have to have that system down.
So what do we learn from this? I honestly think like every job can run through this process. What do you analyze? What are you currently doing that's delivering value to your employer or for your own business? Like what are the processes? And even bullet, like it could be as simple as like a 5-point bulleted list. How could it be done? And then optimize. How can it be done better? Standardize. How do you make sure that it's actually happening to that? And then mechanize. How do you automate points of it so that you're focusing on the points that can't be automated?
Right. I think that's a really valuable tidbit right there. What I've heard it is ideate, automate, delegate. So what do you think through what you normally would do? Automate what you can. There'll be some piece you either can't or don't want to because you're better at it. And then can you delegate that if you have to? So there's a whole, this whole concept of thinking systemically. It's a great point you're raising.
Yeah. I mean, that reminds me of like one of my favorite parts of the 4-hour work week kind of had. It's funny. It was sitting under my nose the whole time, like the process, the similar processes in the 4-hour work week, right? Mm-hmm. Like I forgot his.
That whole book is like,
Eliminate.
That was it. Yeah.
Eliminate, automate,
delegate.
delegate. Yeah. So that was his, thing.
What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing?
Yep.
Which get rid most of it. People, you aren't aware.
The easiest way
of.
To improve a process, just get rid of crap that doesn't need to be done.
How
number
true is
one.
That? Especially at the bigger company levels.
Yeah.
How much wasted time are they, like you worked at companies, I have. You're just like, are you kidding? This is the part of the process. Do we need to be doing this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that it requires you to sacrifice some sacred cows, and that's a problem inside most companies.
I don't think I could work at a big company for that reason. I tend to be like,
but this
going
is why
the department and different lines and going all rogue.
This explains why the smaller firms are more adept in general, but specifically with AI. Like you're a guy like you, you're all over this. These large companies, they're looking for what AI-based tool can we integrate into our existing product suite, but they're not really trying to AI what they've got. You know, it's like, it's more, they're productizing the technology versus let's leverage the technology.
So if you're listening to this far, key points that I'm kind of remembering back now are like, learn how to leverage the technology. If you can, like learn how to cook rather than just follow recipes.
Yep.
Learn how to drive process. Learn what your process is for delivering what you do. There's multiple frameworks. We just rattled off like three of them. You can go back, record, rewind, and go through a couple of them. All of them are lots of overlap between them. I do want to jump into like a few news pieces because there are some interesting things that have happened in the AI world yep. over the last 2 weeks. That'd be fun to cover.
It wouldn't be a week if AI wasn't reinventing itself every couple of days.
I know. It's happening fast. OpenAI had some updates. Very exciting. One is like they're going to start to do this thing where they like announce things and don't release it to anybody because they're scared because it's too powerful. Mm-hmm. The one that was the most noticeable is voice modeling. Do you see this update?
I did.
You were like, oh, like you can feed it literally just a 13, 15 second voice clip of your voice, just talking, reading, anything. And its ability to match the sound of your voice with any text, reading through any text is remarkably good now. You're like, wow. Like it had some samples and it was so freaking good. So like this is going to be incredible.
They're doing what the social platforms did when they all would copy each other's features. OpenAI is stealing what 11 Labs had basically, you know, was the forerunner of this, but they're doing a better job of it, Apple style. But yeah, the voice mimicking, like all of this in my mind leads to the problem of who owns what content is real. And that to me is like a blockchain conversation, but we'll talk about this some other time. I feel like that this is going to be copied. If someone has a better widget, OpenAI is the hub. That's going to be like, okay, we'll take that and we'll just stamp that out. Better version. Yep.
What I'm excited about for this for marketing is that, especially for podcasting, it's going to do a better job of auto editing your video file or your voice file. And of course, it'll move the lips to change it. But like people don't speak grammatically correct. And that's okay. People are used to kind of hearing people just run a rumble through a conversation. Like even me, like rumble through a conversation, I could go back and auto correct that and put like maybe ramble or something like more appropriate.
Yeah.
Like it'll just fix that in post automatic because it'll be able to match your voice, match your lips to it. And it's going to smooth everything over. Everybody's going to sound way more intelligent and it'll be, that's not even the stuff ripping off. Like, of course we're scared that we're going to make some politician sound like he said something and everybody knows that's a fear. And there's that is the official things are going to sound more articulate. Like you will be able to just ramble through you talking through something in a solo episode, hit like improve, and you are just going to sound way more articulate than you actually are.
Yep.
Which again, coming back to your point, that becomes live sessions and public speaking become way more authentic now because everyone's going to be faking it through recorded stuff.
100%. I actually think that the human side of making mistakes or stumbling over your words becomes the appeal.
Yeah.
So real fast on that point, the first thing they did with the ability to vocally inflect the way a human would and ah, right? The machine now hesitates and pauses and talks the way a human talks versus talking perfectly. And that's, you're basically programming in stutters and pauses and like, let me think about that, fillers, because it sounds more human, but it doesn't need to. And yet that's what people want.
Yeah, it still sounds, it sounds human, but it doesn't speak exactly like humans do because there's more pauses, some well-intentioned and some not. There's all kinds of little voice inflections and oddities that AI just tends to kind of like the writing, right? The writing doesn't have a lot of flavor to it.
Right.
The sentences are all kind of similar in length, and instead of having like long, mixing it up with short and like having more drama to the writing, the writing is very vanilla, even though it's all grammatically correct and sounds appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not fun to read.
Right. It's too repetitive.
Not even his content, just in its style and its ability. Like you've seen the copywriter thing where it's like, this writing is boring to read because it all has the same length sentence and they all sound the same. And then it goes and writes this like fantastic paragraph with like a like medium, long, short, and then like really short, like two word sentence. And it sounds like crescendo. And you're just kind of like, I wish I had it in front of me, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what
you mean. You've seen this social post that's went viral a few years ago.
Yeah.
I think it's gone viral a few times because it's just that strong. Like the power of writing. It can't do that yet.
It'll get there. Yes. No, I agree with you. Also, one other quick side point, OpenAI makes the announcement, doesn't release it right away. You mentioned that earlier. That's a marketing play in my mind.
Yeah.
Because you get the power of the one is the release and two is the announce. But anyway, keep going.
Yep. Yep. No, I definitely think they're smart because, you know, Anthropic's coming out with it's like, oh, we're just above. We're now better by a margin, but like we're now better. So I think OpenAI is just throwing out more news like, well, we did this. Well, we did this. But we're not going to release it to you. You know, just to stay top of mind. DALL-E now has editing, which is very exciting. Like to the point where DALL-E's continuing, like it's falling behind Midjourney, which is so exciting because to some degree, DALL-E is a better image tool than Midjourney is.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly more approachable for most people.
Oh yeah.
So anytime DALL-E makes an edit, I'm like, yes, because it's just easier to work with. And I honestly feel like I wish Midjourney worked more like DALL-E, but it doesn't.
That's a really big point though. Like the UX matters. If it's hard for me to use it, I'm not going to use it.
Well, OpenAI has made AI to make it easier to make the stuff.
Right.
To intuit what you actually want in an image versus Midjourney. It's AI for image creation is good, but it's AI for understanding what you want is
right.
You have to know exactly what you want
to get it to be right.
So that's exciting because most marketers can't design and most marketers can't make these things unless it's a highly done, well done template in Canva. So DALL-E is going to blow it open for marketers to actually be able to do their own design.
Right.
Whether that's good or not is another question, but they will.
It'll be interesting to watch.
I saw First Mark Capital put out this infographic of the AI landscape. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen
Google Doc.
It.
I'll just describe it to you. It's not even worth like really looking at because it's like you've seen like the SAS diagram with like all the different categories and subcategories and all the logos in it. It's like that, but it's already like massive with like 1,000 logos in it. You can't even read the logos. They're so small just to show like the AI landscape. And I'm like,
yeah, it's primarily startups right now.
I'm like, it's all startups, but it's all the other legacy tools that just added, either just tapped into OpenAI's API. Like everybody's an AI company now is essentially the point.
That's how you get money if you're raising
every
capital.
Every software company is AI company. Okay, got it. It's the new standard. It's the new standard.
Yeah, it's a good point. By the way,
that was fun.
On that point real fast, you're right. They're not all really AI companies. Like it's on us. The onus is on the user to be like, okay, is this a legit AI tool? Or if it's GPT wrapper, which they mostly are, it's not really an AI company. Like you can pipe in AI into anything.
What would you call them? If its primary use case is essentially GPT wrapper, but without the AI, its functionality is nothing.
I wouldn't call it an AI company. Like I would call it a GPT wrapper, which is kind of an insult, and I would mean it as such. That's the fact that you can API in your AI into what your existing widget does is great, but that doesn't make you an AI company.
Yep.
It's no more so than if I use code and now I'm a code writer. Like, yeah, of course, you can make it into what you, this is a marketing play more than a business development play.
Yep. What would you call them then? Because they're not going to lead with GPT wrapper.
Right. I would probably call them, I mean, officially, I have to think about this because there's a marketing term attached, but off the record, if I'm talking to you behind the scenes, they're like imitation AI companies. That's really what they are. They want to be AI and they want to be evaluation with an AI, you know, number, dollar sign, but they're not developing artificial intelligence software inside their company.
There is another term that's emerged from Gartner called IA, intelligent automation.
I've heard this.
So, and I'm like, that kind of makes sense as a category of what a lot of these would probably fall into, because they don't want to be called GPT wrappers, yet the automation wouldn't work if it weren't for the AI component, which they're just outsourcing to Anthropic or OpenAI or something like that.
Yep. So this begs the question of what makes a company an AI company, to your point. The IA term, I've heard that thrown around. It's cute. I get why they do it. It's still confusing, though. Like, there's no, this is my earlier point a second ago, there's no line between what is AI and what is not. I told you I've done marketing work for firms that said to me, to my face, we need to make this an AI spin. And I'm thinking, and I said to them, is there AI in there? And they're like, well, I'm sure somewhere. So, okay, what is the definition of AI? If it's an advanced algorithm, is that AI? We ran into this on Wall Street all the time. It's a trading black box. It learns as it goes. So there is some machine learning there, but it's not definitely, it's definitely not AI. Not as we see it today.
Yeah. You kind of have to train your own model, right? And then it's kind of your own AI-ish.
Right.
Even if you're just training it on your 10 books that you've written.
Right. Exactly. Eh, I think that this debate won't be solved and it's fine, but like, what makes an artist, what makes you a content creator? That's the definition. Like, what is that? Is my mom is a content creator if she's posted on Facebook. Like, so anyway, my point is that that definition of AI, it'll always be fuzzy and companies will always try to grab onto it.
Yeah. And like Alex Hormozi says, like, you can't really sell AI because I mean, it makes for good YouTube videos and content platforms like this one. But at the end of the day, you'd never sell AI because people don't want AI. They want the outcome of AI. Right. You're still selling that.
But I can market spin of I'm the AI of ice cream or I'm the AI of lawnmowers or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now it's just it's a grab. Hence marketers are tired of the hype because that's what it is right now.
Right.
Everything's a PR stance and a positioning stance of having AI right now while it's hot. But now everyone's getting tired of it.
Yeah. I think that actually that's a real good point about whoever's doing marketing right now. There's going to be a pushback against IA masquerading as AI. And I think that people need to take into consideration that there'll be eventually a consumer assessment of what real proper AI is.
Yep. What I love. I love the new territory because everything's still wet cement right now. Right. Before digital marketing was digital marketing, we called it e-marketing. We called it internet marketing. And all these things,
custom
like e-marketing
publishing.
Guide. Internet marketing still has a little flavor of those.
Yeah.
Dan Kennedy bros. You know what I'm saying?
He's still around. Yeah.
Yeah. And we called it a bunch of different things. And then digital marketing kind of became the turn. So we still have a ton to learn about like where this new era is going to take us in AI and how we're going to be calling it, and how we're going to be addressing it and labeling it and categorizing and organizing the whole thing. But we'll see where it goes.
I still think your point was very valid about coming up with the process internally. Like if there's some takeaway from this, it's make sure you understand what you do internally and then put that down on paper, almost as if you're hiring an employee. And then you can work with the AI.
Yep. Everybody should be doing this for your job right now, because if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. And then you'll be the one who loses the work because somebody else already did the process, which eliminated your work. But if you're the one who builds it, then you have the advantage of knowing all the ways that it didn't work and did work and can keep up with the developments of AI in order to make it better. And your job now becomes managing all the things that, like, if you were a copywriter, you are now a copywriter manager managing all the copy of all the AI. That's kind of my hypothesis, is that all frontline workers will essentially be managers in the future, managing their AI teams.
Which takes us back to the point, though, you have to think like a business owner,
right,
about your own role.
Yep. Kind of brings me back to E-Myth, one of my favorite books. It's essentially the best book ever written on process.
Michael Gerber,
because it's so approachable and it's all story driven about why process is so important.
Yeah. That's a great book. Finn has not read that.
It's made for like small businesses, but I'm like, anybody should read this for their work, because you are a small business. Even if it's you and your career, you are a business. You're just being hired by an employer you have a customer of one called your employer.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that book later. That was a great book. It was one of my big influences. I love that book.
Yep. So I think I need to round up books like that, because I think these are the types of books that are the undercurrents for really learning how to leverage AI and its process creation. And the best way to learn process creation, in my opinion, is one of them is reading the E-Myth.
Right.
Because that kind of that's really the why behind why process automation or why process development in general is so powerful.
So one of the key points in the book is that inside each person, there's three separate quote unquote people, right? There's the visionary, the operator, right. the manager, the technician.
Yes, that's right.
And so that book forces you to analyze yourself and break down which one you're strong at, which one you're not. Like, and that mental walkthrough is what AI will demand of each person. Whether you've read the book or not, I think the book is going to be helpful to your point, Dan. But it's about coming up with what should happen, what do I currently do, and then you can optimize within machinery of AI.
Dang, I'm glad you just broke that out because I wasn't even thinking about how I knew the book talked about process, but I've forgotten that the major point of the book is that there's those three roles that every business owner needs to have.
I can tell you now, like I worked in finance, but I'm a words guy, not a numbers guy. So you need to know these things about yourself when you're going to build a tool and to do things that you do. Like you got to know this is this parts of me that I'm trying to put into the machine and not.
Yep. Because the entrepreneur needs to dream up coming up with a system.
I almost think
the manager needs to document it so the AI can do it. And then the technician actually has to have the skill to know whether what the AI does is good or not.
Right. And then there's the iterative process that you always talk about where it's, how do we optimize this? What could we do better next time?
It's the entrepreneur you got to play.
Right.
Try out stuff.
And you got to be willing to suck, right? You're going to come up with something for your own company's process and it won't be 100%, but it's better than what you got. And then you'll figure it out. But that's, you got to start.
Yep. Well, I'm inspired. I need to go make some more custom GPTs and document the ones that I've made for others to follow along with. Mark, thank you so much for joining me again on this episode.
Pleasure is mine, and Dan.
For everybody else, if you miss it live, it's on AIDrivenMarketer.com on the podcast. And of course, I think it lands in my LinkedIn feed or Mark's LinkedIn feed later on.
Yeah. You guys will see the clips.